There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 69 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Have you ever felt like you've just been caught up in the certain life you've created and it feels like it's not what you want? You have a family, a house, a job, bills to pay, and stuff you need to do. You've got your friends, your neighborhood, your city, and your social circle, and all the responsibilities that come with all that. What if you want something completely different? I personally was involved in several businesses. I had a bunch of stuff. I had a group of friends. I had a certain amount of wealth, and I had some status. But I knew I was just going through the motions. I did things that were meant to be fun, but they weren't really that much fun. I had a boat. I golfed. I threw parties. I went on vacations. I did all the things that successful people do, but something was missing. There was no depth to any of it. I followed what society thought was good, and I was successful in those terms, but it felt like empty, and I knew it back at the time. Then I lost it all, and that was the best thing that ever happened, although it didn't seem like it at the time. Once I lost everything, I was free to create the life I wanted, but even then, I didn't really know that at the time. That's what we're going to talk about today, how to create an authentic life while you're sort of in the middle of the life you've already created. We're going to discuss this question that Jennifer asked. She's in a turning point in her life, and Joshua's answer is amazing. And the answer is really long. In fact, I think it's one of the longest answers Joshua's ever given. But it addresses this issue really well, and the perspective is one I think we're all going to benefit from hearing. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Wendy Pierce.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Astrid Halverson.
Hi, all you superstars.
Glad you're here. This is going to be a fun podcast because we're going to talk about how we all started off with this old approach to life where we created things that society thought was good. Like we went to school and we finished high school. And then in my case, went to college and finished college and then started a business and scraped by and got married and got divorced. And in my case, did not have any children, which is that okay for me. Mm-hmm. And then sort of got successful. But then it was all my friends at the time, too. It was like, there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more than just watching football games on Sunday or playing golf on Saturdays or going to somebody's party. There's always all these parties to go to and stuff like that. And it was always the same sort of thing day in, day out. Having Christmas, having Thanksgiving, having Valentine's Day, having July 4th. All these things, just you sort of get in this routine, and then by the time you're done, you don't know what's going on. And you're not really creating on purpose. You're just going with what everyone else thinks is good. Mm. Did you guys do any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You just get into a routine, and you kind of think that there might be something better out there, but then you feel, oh, you have to work harder to get that to make it better.
When I get this amount of money, then I can buy this house and then I'll be happy.
Right. And it just goes to the fact that the money is not what makes you happy. It's got to come from within first.
Yeah, or there was a question today for Kate. And it was like, I had bought this condo for my dad to live in, thinking that he'd really appreciate it. You know, he was an avid golfer his whole life, and his condo's right on the Bear Lakes Country Club golf course. Is like the best golf course around. Gets to sit in this patio and watch golfers all day long. And it's a really nice condo. And so I thought that by buying him that, he'd appreciate it, but he doesn't appreciate it in my perspective and complains about it. And it's been this major source of conflict for the last 10 years that he's lived there. And it's like, I was trying to create these conditions that I thought would make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't feel good ahead of time, I created conditions that actually made me feel worse. Mm. So I think a lot of that was happening. You know, I had started this business and I brought in two of my friends who were basically doing nothing with their lives. And I trained them how to become appraisers and they became really successful and they made way more money. I mean, 10 times more money than they had ever made in their life. They were able to buy houses and get married and do all sorts of things. And then they both left together and took half of my staff with them and my clients. I was like, here I am trying to be a good guy and help out people and make myself feel good by doing something for other people. And because I was insecure in that, then I have this huge manifestation event where they just go, which is a theme in my life, by the way. It happened a lot of times. So now it's sort of like time to focus on the authenticity of what you really want by, I guess, looking at life in a completely new way. Not the things you need to accumulate, but who you're with and what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Conscious living.
Yes.
I did that in a different way where I just went through life unconsciously, not necessarily chasing money, but just getting caught up in the like mundane and just, yeah, one big event on the horizon to the next. Like, oh, Christmas is coming up. So that's what I'm going to worry about for the next month or whatever. And then after that is the next thing that I have to worry about and just trudge through. But when, like you're talking about now, you had to lose everything for you to like look around and be like, wait, what am I doing here? Sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, definitely. Gary's point about helping his friends. I mean, I've done that all my life too, and you're projecting on them what you think is best for them, not even knowing what their path is. And that was a big thing for me to back off and allow people to fumble and stumble and do whatever they need to do. I'm not here to help them in that respect. Yet, that's what I always felt was my job, was to help lift them up, where maybe they weren't supposed to be lifted up.
I realized we forgot to set our intentions. Sorry, that's
how. Oh, let's do that now. Who wants to do it?
Let's intend to have fun.
Okay, let's intend to have fun. Let's intend to allow all the thoughts to come to us to come and say whatever we want to say, whenever we want to say them. Let's not keep anything back. Let's inspire others. Let's create this feeling of a family, that we're all in this together, that we're all trying to figure out together, that no one knows any more than anyone else, that no one has to be like smarter than anyone, that no one has to be the leader, that anyone could just be whoever they want to be.
Cool.
And let's intend to be focused. That's one that I've been intending every day because I struggle with that sometimes. So let's intend to be focused.
Yeah. But the fun thing about not being focused is you can go off on these tangents.
You just focus on a new tangent and that's it.
And who knows where you're going to go.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Okay. So anyway, well, like in Kyla's case, when you first met Joshua, you had pretty much just had to start life over right there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were in that place.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I guess it seems like here you are divorced with two kids, and you're struggling to figure out a way to keep, you know, to make a new life with them, to keep custody, to negotiate with your ex-husband, that sort of thing.
Find a job.
Right in the middle of all of this. Find a job, find a house, find a place to live. And so that is like a super big time of fear. And when I was going through my thing, big time of fear too. But so in a way to get back to where I was, which is that's what I was, my intention was to get everything back again. I was looking for something and the first thing appeared was The Secret. And then the second thing that came was Abraham, which was interesting. And maybe because I was like in a state allowing anything to come to me, like that stuff I might have thought before was just ridiculous. But at this time of needing to get back or wanting this, having this huge desire to get back to where I was led on a completely different path.
Interesting. We had a similar thing too, where we lost a lot of money and my husband lost his job. And I just went down a hole and made myself very, very ill. Mm-hmm. And trying to get back out of that hole without any tools like I have now, it felt insurmountable. And then Steve mentioned Abraham to me, and it was good, but I couldn't grasp it. But maybe I wasn't vibrationally ready for it either, but I kind of stuck with it. And then when I found Joshua, it was like, that just made so much more sense. And I could apply it more directly to my day-to-day activities to help bring myself out of the hole.
Yeah. And also, plus it was a series of answers to your direct questions.
Yes.
Specifically
yes.
about you.
Too. Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. So three of us came from this desire to get back up to where we were, I guess. But imagine if you're in the middle of a life with a family, just going through the emotions. I mean, I see the like midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. You can sort of tell why that happens because you've been doing this for 50 years and it's just not working. And so now you want to do something completely different.
Yeah. Astrid, did you have something like some big thing that happened for you?
I think it's like for me too, it seems like for many of us, we have to reach the bottom or what we think is the bottom before we're willing to sort of let go of the life that we used to have to look for something better. Because for me, I had been working for, I don't know, 5-7 years in oil and gas, and I had a just above medium well-paid job. I finally had my perfect apartment. I felt like I was finally at a safe and comfortable place. I was working as a consultant because that was better paid, and I had a great job. I had a lot of freedom in that job. I was well off. And then I lost my job, and everything had always been so easy for me. Getting a new job would happen within a week because I was good at my work. And so I thought it would be easy this time too. And the weeks went, the months went. Suddenly I had been unemployed for a year and a half, and I was about to lose the compensation that we get from the government. So I would be without any money. I was about to lose my apartment, and it was like a recession here in Norway. So I had no chance of getting a new job. And it was horrible. I have struggled with depression earlier, but this was like the lowest I had ever been. And my main focus was find a safe way to kill myself because I'm scared of blood and I don't want to mess things up and be a vegetable and that kind of stuff. I don't want to ruin that thing. So, and then I started looking at LOA stuff. And I found Joshua, and I wanted to do the one-on-one, but I was thinking, I've got nothing going. I don't have a job. I don't have a family, like kids or anything. So what would I ask about? Because I felt like I had to be entertaining. So I think Joshua answered like five questions, just the free ones that you can send in. The one that you do every week, Gary. Mm-hmm. And so they answered a lot of questions. And I was thinking, I sort of said to myself or into space or whatever, if you guys want me to do this, then you have to get Gary to ask me. And Gary, you did. You told me that was the first time you had ever suggested to someone that they join, right?
That's right.
Wow.
First time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I felt like I had to do it. And that was like, for me, it was being at that low point where the only way out is either killing myself or doing this crazy thing because I've got nothing left to lose.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So now I've been unemployed for 3 years. I've never been better. Life is so fucking great. I can do anything. I just don't know what that thing is yet. I think I'll find it.
Yeah.
I think I'll find it maybe this month or next month because there's a lot of stuff going on in the energies I've heard, or this year at least. And I've got everything is perfectly lined up for me.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And you've asked 105 questions so far.
Wow.
I think it's 111.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, huh?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. And now you're at that stage too where you're getting the answers directly.
I'm not so sure about that, though.
Oh, they're coming.
Somebody's inside your head talking.
Yeah, but it's Joshua. Could be a crazy alien.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does it sound crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I know
well,
that.
Joshua suggested writing it down. And
that's Joshua would probably say they're crazy aliens.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. All right. So let's dig deep into Jennifer's question. And we thank Jennifer for letting us use this one. I mentioned to you guys, Jennifer's a longtime friend of mine. I've known her since like the early 90s, I guess, or the mid 90s. And she's married to one of my best friends. And we were all in this group of friends together when we were single. And we had so much fun. We all lived in the same complex, in the same apartment complex. We were just, it was like being on a cruise ship. Fun. We were just going to be time. It was so much fun. We would go out with groups of 20 of us or 30 of us.
Wow.
All single, all having fun. And people were dating in between here and there, you know. And stuff. It was really fun. It was such a great time. And then Mike lived with me for a little while. In fact, Jennifer's husband, Mike, was my roommate when I met Lily. And I moved out and he stayed in the apartment. And then he went off and he moved out of state and came back and kept in contact with Jennifer. And then they got married and have two beautiful girls. And Jennifer's always been this like high-powered executive. And she finally quit her job. So let's see what she says here. So, Wendy, would you like to read for Jennifer?
Sure. Hello, Joshua. It's been a long time since I've asked you a question. Life is unfolding beautifully for me, and I feel like I'm at an important place in time. I am fortunate to have the loving support of my husband, which has allowed me to walk away from a very lucrative yet stressful job. I've been out of work for about 5 weeks and absolutely loving the peace and freedom. I'm proud of my ability to, mostly, stay present and ward off panic over the financial burden this is creating. I'm trusting that the more I focus on ease and appreciation for this freedom, that the next step will come to me, where I can have the large income, but in a way that is fulfilling and fun, and also allow me to make my own schedule because I adore this freedom. I've never approached earning money this way before, so I don't know what passion I may have yet. I'm doing my best to remain open to inspiration.
Okay, so her job was this like financial analyst for a really big company, and she used to work crazy hours, like early in the morning till 7 or 8 at night. And she has two little girls, right? So sometimes I think she even had to work on Saturdays too. So she was like always away from the family and always stressed out by all the work that she had to do. And now she's not working at all for the first time really in her adult life.
That's hard. That big step. Okay. I would love to know if I'm on the right track or if the underlying fear that I know is there, even if understated, is compromising my progress and I'm not really aware of it. I have a few questions besides wanting a vibrational check-in. Some are related and some aren't. Do you know me? I mean, are you aware of me in this lifetime, my past, my experiences, this persona, or do you only know the non-physical me, the larger me? Do you know about my childhood, for example? Am I also a part of Joshua, my non-physical me? We, my family, are seriously considering an out-of-state move. I know that whether we go or stay, I need to line up with whichever decision. Why am I struggling so much? Fear, I suppose. When there is indecision, is it best to just relax and stay present and allow the universe to bring signs for which path to take? Have I been missing signs? I resonate with the person who asked you why not much evidence had presented itself despite feeling like their vibration had improved. Should I too start taking inventory of the thoughts I get? I've been starting most of my mornings at the beach after dropping my children off at school. I feel like it's really helping me stay centered and raising my vibration. So, do I just need to keep at it, trust, and be patient? That's a lot. I'm grateful to you and Gary for this interaction. Very excited to hear from you. With love and gratitude, Jennifer.
Yeah.
So many questions that I've had.
Yeah.
I love this. Yeah, so that's why I really like this one, because it's something that we all have.
Yeah.
And also about making decisions, and is it the right decision to make, you know? And I think that we, at this point, can see a lot of stuff here and can sort of get a sense for what the answers are. But it's fun to hear what Joshua has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Kyla, would you read for Joshua?
Sure. Dear Jennifer, first of all, everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. You cannot fail. that it is not possible to fail. Your entire persona is built upon the foundation of success as you alone perceive it to be. However, you can do no wrong, not in your work or in your capacity as a mother and wife. You are free from the bondage that this entails. We know you.
Okay. So here you are, that her entire persona is built on the foundation of being successful, yeah. Right? As she perceives herself to be successful. So she and a lot of people think that if I'm a good person, then I will be successful in all these things. Mm. But then how can you be successful in work and as a mother at the same time and a wife and all this stuff? It's really because you have that persona that is creating this thing in your life that you have to do these certain things. I have to work. I have to be a good mother. I have to be a good wife, but there's not enough time in your day. And Jennifer was always saying that she didn't have enough time for anything, right? So now Joshua is saying, you can do no wrong. You can't be wrong in your work. You can't be wrong in your capacity as a mother and wife. So you are free from the bondage of that idea, okay? You can't be wrong. So if you can't be wrong, then you can't feel guilty about stuff that you think you're doing wrong.
That's a huge concept to grasp.
Yeah, that is a huge concept to grasp, and it goes against everything we've ever been taught. From the time we were a kid, you had to be right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You had to be, and if you weren't right, you were told you weren't right all the time. Mm-hmm. I was told daily I was wrong.
Yep.
I can't handle people telling me I'm wrong now. Okay, let's go to the next one.
We know you, which is to say we know the current vibration that you, Jennifer, is emitting right now. We see what the universe sees. The universe is responding to you by bringing you everything you want and need. There are some things you want that you cannot see coming. There are some things you need that when you see them coming, you dismiss them as wrong for you. You judge what is good or bad without thinking it through and without realizing that it is all good and all for your benefit. As you know, you are your own worst boss.
Yeah, this is going to take a long time because I got stuff to say on each one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, interesting thing about this first sentence is we know you, which is to say we know the current vibration that is you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
We know the current vibration that is you, Jennifer, is that you, as Jennifer, is emitting. Now, it should be are emitting, right? That you are emitting. And I'm like trying to change that word from is to are, and they wouldn't let me do it because Jennifer is a herself, inner self, at the same time. So it's a plural in this case.
Right.
So what Joshua knows is this vibration that they are both, that's emitting from this whole bigger being that is Jennifer, which is the first time I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And
so do they do what they know our persona as well as our vibration?
I think they do. I think the persona is wrapped up in the vibration. Okay. But I don't think they know Jennifer from last question, for instance. If she had referred to a previous question, that's a different Jennifer.
Oh.
They don't know that Jennifer. And they don't know the specifics of the childhood. They only know what has come to create this vibration. And that's what you see all the time on Abraham in the hot seat, when someone says, it's good to be with you again, Abraham does not know who that person is.
That's so interesting.
This new person for the first time.
So they only know the parts of the past.
They only know this the person who is Jennifer in that moment.
When they know parts about our past, they only know the parts that are relevant to who we are right now, like the parts of the past that are wrapped up. Because I've wondered about that, too, because they've alluded to certain, like, specific things almost, or, like, events kind of for me. But other things they don't know or didn't get as specific. And so that makes sense that it was just the things that were really relevant to my vibration at the time that we were having that specific interaction. Interesting. Okay. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. So they could say that, for instance, that you were told by your parents to be good. Mm-hmm. And when you were good, they gave you affection. And when you were bad, they punished you or withheld their affection. And they know that because that's created your vibration, your persona.
Right.
And that part's obvious, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But they don't know that your parents were a man and a woman, for instance. If you were raised by two women or two men, they wouldn't know that.
Unless it was like something that I was dealing with internally.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Exactly. Okay, cool. Okay, another part of this part is that, okay, so the respondent, the universe is responding to her by bringing her everything she wants and needs. There are some things that she thinks she wants, right, that isn't really what she wants. And there's some things that she does want that she doesn't think she wants. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so when things come to her, she judges them as good or bad. And that's how everyone does it. You always, you know, you don't know what you want. Like my classic example is when we were in this group with Lily and we were paired up, you got a number and you had to find the person with your number. And I was like hoping it wasn't this one guy. And it was him. And it turned out to be one of my best friends, Clark. Mm. And it's like, I couldn't see that that was who I really wanted then. For some reason, I couldn't see it. I thought I wanted this other person or other people. Yeah. Yeah. And because she judges what is good or bad and without thinking it through and realizing that it's all good. And then the other thing, as you know, you are your own worst boss, which means she is the most critical of herself of anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is true of so many
people. A lot of us, yeah.
I have to say the thing that hit me was the sentence, there are some things you need that when you see them coming, you dismiss them as wrong for you. Because that's, I'm living that. I mean, I keep trying to find my passion and I keep looking for the signs. And I asked Joshua and they said, because as you probably know, I've been pretty pissed off when I was at the last roundtable podcast. I feel like it's not my thing. And then Joshua said, well, you were led to us, to the one-on-one. You were led to do the live call. And now you're led to the round table. It feels like they're saying to me, so all these things are coming to you and you're looking anywhere, everywhere else, looking for something. But everything that's coming to me, it's like I can't see it. Right. I'm looking everywhere else.
And it's like... It's funny that it's so obvious for us.
Right.
So that's what they're saying. Like, some things you need, you dismiss them as wrong for you.
Yeah. Right.
It's so hard to see it for yourself.
It's so hard to see it for yourself.
Yeah. I've been trying to look at, like, when I get these thoughts of inspiration, and because my mode of operation is to immediately dismiss them or go to step number 50, and there's no way possible. I've been trying to think of it as trying it on. Like, it's the shirt. I'm going to try this on and sit with it for a minute and see how it feels. And then sometimes I'll get another inspiration. Sometimes it's kind of like, just kidding. it doesn't seem right. And so I'll let it go. But it's a totally different way to approach day-to-day thoughts. Yeah.
It is. You get an inspiration and then you know that this is for your highest good. If you would just take that next step, but you still have free choice to say, I'm not going to do that now.
Right. Yeah.
Like last night, I had this inspiration just to stay home with Lily and watch TV. And I knew that that was the inspiration and everything. But instead, I'm like, no, I want to go play poker. And so I go play poker and I'm doing really well. And then I got knocked out by this just unbelievably, horrifically bad luck hand. And I end up coming home and watching TV with her anyway, but losing a couple $100, you know? Sort of, I stayed home and listened to that inspiration.
But it's just paper, Gary. It's just paper.
It's just paper, yeah. I have so much attachment to that paper, though. Love that paper. Okay. And I like the paper way more than the digital stuff, too.
The
digital stuff doesn't mean anything, but if it's in your hands, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And paper is better than coins.
But chips are good, too. I like chips.
Oh, okay.
Poker chips. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
You demand things of yourself that are not necessary in order to prove to yourself and others that you are good. This notion of good came to you through your childhood, and that is not wrong. It was intended by you prior to your birth so that you would be launched on this trajectory toward the life that you are now living. Everything has happened perfectly and will happen perfectly too. There is no need to regret anything that may have happened in the past because it all unfolded perfectly to bring you here. There is no need to worry about the future because the future has infinite possibilities and you cannot possibly predict the one that will take place. All you are doing by worrying is making the present moment less enjoyable.
All right, so... this is true of everyone in the whole world. at this point in time, as you're listening to this, everything that's happened perfectly. It was a complete representation of the vibration you've been emitting your whole life. Now, from this point forward, what will unfold is based on the vibration that you're going to emit from here on. Of course, we have a lot of momentum going on, and so you tend to go in the same direction, but you can change it, and it doesn't take that long, but you got to think about it. So now you can't really worry about the future too, because the future is going to unfold perfectly no matter what happens based on your emitting. And if you worry about that, well, it doesn't really make sense, because you're projecting this just one possible future where a billion different futures could happen. In fact, we change the possibility of the future by every single breath almost that we take. Mm. So you can't predict what the future is going to be. If you could predict it, then it would be not really any fun living in physical reality. So don't worry about the future. And then all you're doing about worrying anyway is just making the present less fun.
Mm. Mm. There's so much relief in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So Joshua has come up with this concept. I've forgotten whose question it was, about what you're doing is that every moment is like a frame in a movie, and it just seems like you're going from one moment to the next, seems to transition, but it's a completely different moment. And in the next moment, okay, for instance, the words I choose next are going to launch me into another dimension. I can't feel it because we're changing dimensions so quickly, but if I say yes or no, I'm going to go into one different dimension depending on which one I say. And then that dimension goes to a next one, to a next one, to a next one, to a next one. So if you can see all these little bubbles that Bashar has said that there might be a million of them every second that you go through. Stuff like that. And the you that is living right now in this body, just the body itself changes millions of times a minute, because you have trillions of cells and many of them are dying and many of them being reborn. So it's a different you in every second anyway. So worrying about the future just is something you can just give up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this next paragraph is my favorite because it explains this even better.
Mm. Okay. So in this moment in time, everything is perfect. Would you agree with that statement?
Okay, everyone listening to this right now, this moment that we're doing right now is perfect, right? There is nothing wrong with this moment. This moment right now that we're all in, all of us who are listening to this right now, all of us on this podcast talking, we are having a perfect moment, which means that as this moment, as you look around this room, there's nothing wrong. Everything's fine. You're alive. You're not really, there's nothing that you could even say that was wrong. It's all perfect. Because once it's already created, it can't be changed anyway. And if it can't be changed, then you got to call it perfect. If you're not going to change something because it can't be changed, then we call it perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I also heard that it's every moment is perfect because you're in it. You're here. And the perfection comes from you because you're perfect. So the moment that surrounds you is also perfect because you are.
And it's a perfect vibration to the perfect reflection. It's like looking in a mirror and saying that is a perfect reflection of me. You know, the condition's reflection of you. If you want the reflection of the mirror to be different, then smile. Okay? You've got to be different.
Right?
To change that reflection.
Wow.
Okay? But this is, there's nothing wrong with this moment, it's perfect. Okay. So let's go on to the next sentence there.
Okay. As you sit reading this answer, you must agree that everything is perfect just as it is. You might think of things that could be improved, but that is an illusion. In this moment, everything is absolutely perfect in your life as it is right now. Hold on. What about the future? Let's wait 5 minutes and check in again. Yes, now that 5 minutes have elapsed, everything is still perfect. Wait, what about tomorrow? We'll wait until tomorrow, and again, everything will be perfect. Well, hold on now. What about this day 1 year from now? We will go into the future and report back on this day 1 year from now. Everything will be perfect. Hold on. If your child is sick, that too is perfect because it is happening for her. How you perceive it, good or bad, is up to you. But if she attracts the flu, then that is for her, and you cannot know how it is for her. You must have faith that the universe is responding to her vibration just as it responds to yours.
Okay. So here we go, that everything is perfect, and then we stumble across this moment that seems not perfect, and it is perfect, right? it is something that's happening, and it's either happening for you. Well, it's obviously, if it's in your reality, it's happening for you or for the person that it's happening to. And that is how you sort of have to just see everything, is that it's perfect. Okay. This is leading up to this whole thing, too, that's going to go on with her. Okay. All right. Next paragraph.
Doesn't that mean that you must help her achieve alignment and that she must not experience contrast? No, that is not your job. She has an inner self who's responsible and fully capable of communicating with her through her emotions and thoughts, just as you have an inner self who is fully aware of you and is guiding you every step of the way.
Okay. So like every mother, Kyla and Wendy can certainly attest to this, is that you sort of want your kids to be in alignment so that they don't experience contrast, but they sort of have to experience contrast to get on the trajectory towards where they wanted to go in the first place. And if you look at like the generation that are of kids that are being raised today compared to how we were raised, it's more like people are nerfing the world to make it safe for them. And it's not really happening for them. We're watching this show called The OA. Have you guys watched that?
Yeah. I watched some of it.
This little girl, her father is in, they're in Russia. She's like 5 years old or something. And the father wants to make her super tough. And so they go out in the snow and he tells her to cuts a hole in the ice and tells her to go into it. Right. And so she goes into the ice, and while she's in the ice, she realizes that she's not as bad as it is. And she's not afraid anymore. She's done something. She's gotten through her fear. And then later on, the children, this is wealthy families in Russia. The children are all going to this one school, and they're in this sort of like SUV, and they get knocked off of a bridge and into an icy river. And all the children die, but she's able to get out. And she has a near-death experience and sees, goes to the non-physical and is told that she can die or she can come back. And if she comes back, she's going to be in this really intense experience. And so she decides to come back. And as she comes back, she survives, but now she's blind. Okay. And then one thing leads to another, and she's led these Americans come to adopt. She's in her father's been killed too, I think. So she's in an Or no, he hides her or something. And so now she's in this orphanage and this American family comes to get a baby, but they see her and decide to take her instead. And then everything unfolds from there. So, but most parents want their children to go without contrast at all. And when we were kids, we just went out and played and got hurt and almost died and survived somehow and did all
no
these things.
Belts, yeah.
Belts, you know, riding the back of pickup trucks like cargo.
Yeah.
But we had these experiences that made us sort of tough because our parents, I don't know what, but I guess they didn't, well, they didn't have cell phones, so they couldn't track us and they couldn't call us all the time. And they just had to trust that we would make it through the day.
Yeah.
Different way. Yeah. But anyway, so as a mother, you can let your children be guided by their inner selves as well. Theoretically.
And it's interesting to watch. I have, you know, one of my sons is deployed right now, and he has been ill more than he's ever been in his entire life. He's always been super healthy. But the other day when I just thought about it and got quiet with it, it came to me that I think he's feeling inner conflict about his wife is pregnant. They have to sell their house. They're going to be moving when he gets home. And there's a lot of stuff stirring around at home that he has no control over at this point. And it was just like, wow, well, maybe that could be it, that he's just feeling really out of control. And his job, I mean, his job as a lieutenant, he's very much in control. Yet here's this part of his life that's very important to him that he feels is out of control, which it really isn't. So it's just his perspective.
Yeah. And so he's feeling resistance. And so the resistance manifests in illness.
Right. Right.
We went to Dominican Republic to visit Lily's father for the first time that she's seen him in years and years and years. And he lived in the capital city and lived in this small little studio apartment. And it was in the poverty that you see there. And she got the worst earache that she couldn't almost couldn't get on the plane to go home. And it was just killed her. And you could just see that this was resistance with how she perceived his life and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Wendy, did that realization you had about your son and how that could be just part of his past, did that make it easier for you to let go, like being mom and being so far away when your baby's sick?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And just to send him positive love and warmth, because it's cold there, and warmth and a vibrational embrace. His person know that it's all okay. It's all working out. It's perfect. Mm.
And which means that you're not feeling resistance, which means that you don't need to attract any physical condition out of this as well.
Right. Mm. Not only is he on his path, he's learning to deal with these resistance, and hopefully he'll have that revelation at some point.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
Once you make a decision, you must fully commit to that decision and never ever consider what might have been. What might have been cannot be known, and therefore, the only perfect decision is the one you made because it has led you here. You do not create the reality you want by making all the correct decisions and avoiding mistakes. You create the reality you want by allowing the universe to bring you all that you've asked for. You asked for your last job, and at the time you received it, you were elated. Now you were ready for something else. The experience of that job created contrast, and you gave birth to many new desires. One desire was for ease. We think that this is very good for you specifically. One was for freedom. We think you had all the freedom and time that you needed, but you resisted it. One was for finding your passion. We think that this is available to you if you allow it. Why would you not allow your passion to come to you? Fear.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so this is interesting, is that one desire she has is for ease, and that's something that she hasn't experienced before because she was stressed out about all aspects of her life. And one desire was for freedom. Well, she really had all the freedom and time that she needed. It was just that she trapped herself in this belief that in order to be good, she had to put in the long hours and had to do it all on her own without help and stuff like that.
Right.
And so she was resisting that. And then one way of finding her passion that's available to you, but why would not her passion not come? Fear. And fear, a lot of times, is the fear of lack of money.
Mm-hmm. I love that, if you allow it. Because a lot of times with mantras and stuff, I've said, everything I want is coming to me. And that's a line in the passion meditation. Everything you want is coming to you if you allow it. And so that's a good part to remember, that like, that's my job, is not to figure out how, but just to allow it to all happen for me.
And how do you not allow it? You not allow it by fear, right?
Right.
Because you're probably jumping 2 steps or 15 steps or 50 steps ahead.
50 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one.
You are still living by the old approach to life, which tells you to go out there and make everything happen on your own while being safe as you do it. You think it's all up to you and you must do your best at all times. Otherwise, nothing good can come to you. We say relax and go with the flow of life, only enjoying doing what you want to do without fear. That seems unrealistic to you, and so you cannot even imagine that from where you stand right now. So then, what are you to do?
Okay, so imagine someone who's been totally in control of every single aspect of their life since they were a kid, and now they're being asked to give up this control. And if you give up the control and just go with the flow of life, only doing that which you want to do in the moment, which is what she's doing for the last 5 weeks, by the way. Right? She's going to the beach, she's hanging out, she's only doing what she wants to do, except she's feeling the anxiety of financial pressures. But you have to somehow get into that mode and trust that you'll be led there. And it's not an easy thing to do, to trust that. Kate just asked this question about abundance, and she says in the abundance meditation it says you'll be given everything you need when you need it. And she goes, but I thought abundance was that I get everything I want when I want it. And that's not it. You get it, what you need to accomplish what you need to do when you need it. And she says, for her, like, I want this second house so that I can have a source of income and feel secure in my retirement. And they say that's a perfect example. Here you want this thing. This is something you think you want, right? You don't want it because it's fun to go out and find it and to buy it and fix it up and then rent it out to a family and then visit it and take care of it and enjoy it. You want it because you want security and you think that's your way to security.
Mm.
And it's not. Mm. If you had $1 million in the bank, you'd call that abundance, but it wouldn't make you secure. It would make you insecure because you worry about, well, what if the bank fails? What if someone steals my identity? What if this or that? You know, so the outside fixes can't get you there. So what you have to do is go with the flow of life and follow your inspiration. Do what you want to do. That's what the inspiration is telling you. This sounds like a fun thing to do. Do what you want to do when you want to do it. And if you live by this process, the universe will bring you everything you need when you need it.
I have a silly little example of that, of just relaxing and going with the flow of life. Last night, I was getting ready to go to my friend's and I found myself, I'm not the best with laundry. And so I was like stomping around my apartment because I couldn't find two socks that matched. And I was just relapsing almost a little bit into the old approach where I was just starting to beat myself up for not ever blah, 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 blah. And then I just stopped it. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care if my socks match. And the only reason that I'm so worried about it is because I care about, like right now I'm caring about what other people think. So fuck it. So I just grabbed two socks that didn't match, but had similar colors in them kind of. And I ended up getting complimented on my socks last night. So I don't know. In the moment, I was like, there are so many other things that I would rather be doing right now than like looking for socks. So I'm just going to go do one of those things and relax. And it all worked out.
Right. And like in the old approach to life, you beat yourself up for not being more responsible than doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something you want to do, right?
Yeah.
You have no inspiration to do laundry and it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Kate asked that question, because every time I listen to the abundance meditation, when that comes up and they talk about when you need it, it's like, well, what if I want it? I just want it. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And the wanting thing is you can manifest anything you want, but you don't need to, because everything you want is communicated through your vibration anyway, and it's what you truly want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think you want. Everyone who wants something is just trying to figure out a way. I mean, that's what I was doing. When I bought my first boat, I thought I wanted – we lived on the water. I thought I wanted to have a boat behind the house, and we would go out in the boat. And once you've gone out in the boat five times, it's basically the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And so unless you're a boater and you're totally passionate about that, but otherwise, you know. And then what we wanted was a bigger boat. And what we really wanted was to take a boat. So we took our friend's boat and we gutted it and totally made it into our own boat. And that was the most fun of the whole thing. And then when it was behind the house, we didn't really care about it anymore. But when we were picking out the fabric and designing it and making the name for it, and Lily's sister made the logo for it and all that, that was the most fun part of it.
Interesting.
Us, because you could tell we're the type of people that like to take stuff and make it pretty, but we didn't care about the boat part. But and we got what we want through doing something that we thought we wanted that was different than what we actually wanted.
Mm.
Got this experience of fixing up this boat, which is the most fun part of that whole boat.
Interesting.
All right. Yeah. You are at the beach experiencing life as you want it to be, being easy about things, feeling less stress, although worry about the future creates stress, and feeling like you have time for the first time in ages. It is a nice feeling, and now you are caught in a paradox. How do you continue to feel ease with the pressure of financial obligations? At some point, won't you be sucked back into the exact same situation you just escaped? That is a conundrum, isn't it?
True. Yeah. So, what's the answer? Does anyone know?
Radically change.
Wow.
Like that's what they told me.
Like,
radically change your approach.
In her case, what's her answer? If you don't know, don't worry.
Because they'll tell us.
Yeah, they're going to tell us. I don't know. I don't know if they did tell us. Okay, so go ahead. Go on to the next one.
There's only one thing you can do. You must radically change your entire approach to life. You must become detached from the fears and anxiety that surrounds you. You must alter your persona, which is the fabricated identification with who you think you are. Your persona is not you. It is a limited version of you, and this very persona keeps you grinding it away at a life that is not for you. It is a false life created by irrational fears. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Who you really are is one who is not swayed or influenced by irrational fear. Who you really are is one who trusts in the universe. Who you really are is one who does not need to be considered good, decent, respectable, or successful. Who you really are does not need to be seen as intelligent. Who you really are has full faith in the universe and does not need to control everything and everyone. Who you really are is one who is comfortable in alignment with all that is, and not one who allows herself to be out of alignment.
What's interesting about Jennifer, which I failed to mention to everyone, is that she was into Abraham when I knew her 20 years ago. So, and she's actually been on the hot seat and asked Abraham a question too. So she's been involved study for years. So, okay, so go on to the next one.
You are aligned with your inner self and with who you really are in those moments of joy, ease, bliss, satisfaction, happiness, and love. You are out of alignment whenever you feel fear and sink into a lower emotional state of being. Now you must think more about what you really want without giving in to fear. Do not give in to the fear that you won't have enough money. Do not give in to the fear that you won't be seen as successful or good. Do not give in to the fear that something wrong could happen to your children. Do not give in to the fear that you must have a certain level of income to be secure and safe. There is only one thing you can do. Find your own alignment with who you authentically are and become that version of you.
Yeah. And so, you know, imagine living life as someone who's high-powered executive, very successful, very intelligent, good grades, really responsible, all that. And now realizing that that hasn't really made you happy. So what do? You have to ditch all that.
It's funny. I've been having these manifestation events where I've been meeting with people or coming across people or people in my life that have very strong personas. And I asked Joshua a question about it because some of them are really wanting to be seen as intelligent and some of them are really wanting to be seen as successful and some of them want to be right at whatever cost. And it's just like really like I'm watching these little movies and thinking like, oh, yeah, that really doesn't matter. You know, the big scope of things that really doesn't matter. I can let that go. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because in the past, I wouldn't even have thought twice. I would have kind of got pissed off that they were being like they were being. But I've been really trying to look at it as a manifestation event and a little movie for me to watch to see that, hey, I really don't need to worry about that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything in the it only means something.
It means absolutely nothing. And it's almost like silly, you know, that they're getting so wrapped up in this where tomorrow it could change or in a moment it could change. And
It's like how we get wrapped up in our football team. I'm sorry about this, Astrid, but me and Wendy get wrapped up in our football teams. Which means nothing. It's so stupid. Like, who cares who wins, you know?
It's 11-11 right now where I am.
So oh, wow.
Just saying that out there. Back to your football talk, sorry.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, it feels so good, though, Gary, to get that involved in something. And I am getting much better when they lose. It's like, all right. Yeah. Wasn't supposed to happen.
It's funny how, and that's why we like it, because if we have some investment and if they win, we feel good because we are controlled by our outside conditions and how we feel. And if they lose, it feels bad. And then people gamble to make it feel even better or worse.
Right.
You know? Oh, God, silly. All right.
Fine.
Let's see. You did not come to physical reality to be a good mother, a good wife, a good daughter, a good employee, a good citizen, or any of that. You came here to explore life in your own unique way and expand through experience and joy. The life you have been living up to this point in time has been perfect, but it has been inauthentic. You know this is true because you can feel the level of alignment that exists now that did not exist before. You are finally standing in a place where you can accept who you really are as worthy, without having to prove it to anyone. And therefore, you can go forth and be, do, and have what you personally want. This is your life, and you do not have to control anyone or anything around you. All you have to do is consider what it is that you want, and you will be supported.
I love that paragraph.
Me too.
That's a big one.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, so focus on what you want without having to worry about everyone else.
Now, that's a lot easier said than done.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. It all sounds good.
Yeah. No, it's easy for me.
Yeah. It's getting easier. Yeah.
Do what you want. Huh? I was told to. Okay.
All right. Doesn't it feel selfish to think first and only of what you personally want? On the contrary, this is your life. Your universe revolves around you. If you can become a shining example of alignment by focusing only on what you want, everyone else in your reality will shift to accommodate you and will benefit from your example. By you being authentically you, you will attract a match to the most powerful and creative version of you, and this will be done through love. Therefore, you will only attract love.
Okay. By being authentic who you are, you will attract love.
I have an example of this. Yesterday was my kid's parent-teacher conference, and so my ex and I both go. And things with him, since Joshua sort of broke it down and said that he wasn't on the attack against me, that he was just sort of protecting himself because he's based in fear. So at the conferences, there arose an opportunity for him to sort of call me out in front of the teachers because there was this book that they were saying my son was really worried about both of us getting to see it, and it came to my house first and I forgot to send it to his house. And so he totally could have called me out, but I've just been in such a good place, like in all of my interactions with him, that he didn't. And I braced myself a little bit, and then I like soothed myself and just, he does say something, it's fine, but he didn't. And so afterwards I made a point of saying, thank you for not calling me out in there. Like, I will make sure I get you that book. But it was just so, I don't know. Like, I felt like I've been being me with him, not letting fear sort of cloud my reactions to him and the things that he says. And so that was just like evidence for me that because I'm sending love his way, like I'm getting love back. So that was really nice.
Mm. How cool. I was watching Bill Burr's new comedy. He's a comedian. And he was saying, like, nowadays, the parents argue with the teachers. When we were kids, no matter what the parents said, we were wrong.
Teacher said,
there was nothing. It didn't matter who was if it was an adult and they said something, we were wrong. Maybe it wasn't Bill Burr, it was somebody else. It was so funny. But sorry about that one.
Damn. No need to be sorry. It was perfect. Okay. Now, we must state that you have decades of momentum built up, and that it will take time and focus for you to turn it around. But if this is what you want, you'll have the universe, your inner self, and your guides and supporters helping you every step of the way. You will face many, many manifestation events, and you will use these opportunities to adjust your beliefs. If you can adjust some of your most rigid beliefs, you will begin to create the reality you truly desire.
Damn rigid beliefs.
Seriously.
Again. They're showing the perspective of the possibility of creating the authentic life that you truly want that will satisfy you and make you happy. And I am living proof that this life is possible, yet I still face many, many, many manifestation events that you guys hear about all the time. It's an ongoing thing to work on those limiting beliefs that I have that I need to be different than I am, for instance, or that I need to... There's so many social things that are going on. Like, I need to be a better provider or whatever, or different in some way, and or just be more productive or whatever it is. And instead, I'm just following what I want to do and sort of living this life of bliss without missing anything. But there's manifestation events that are coming up all the time, and you have to be aware of what those things are, and you have to pay attention to what they're telling you. And most of my life was spent coming up against major manifestation events and calling everyone and everything wrong except for understanding what it was about me that was bringing them up.
Interesting.
This is why Joshua has invited Jennifer to be in the one-on-one, because it's sort of hard to do it on your own.
Definitely hard to do it on your own. Yeah. I liked in the last call when Joshua told Kyla it's okay to bounce around, because that has always been one of my things, is like just feeling like I wasn't productive, I wasn't getting anything done. And the fact that they said, no, you're here to bounce and bounce and bounce, is like just the permission alone was very freeing.
Yeah. So by Kyla not focusing specifically on one thing and attacking that one thing and being the best at that one thing, she was in a stage where she's, you know, bouncing from one interest to another interest. And that's how you get led to where you will eventually find your passion. But it just seems like you're wasting time bouncing from one subject to another.
Since they told me that, I've been seeing how, like, it's all just falling into place, like how all these things that I'm bouncing to are sort of interconnected, and just like skills that I'm learning from each one that are, I don't know, leading me where I want to go. So it's starting to click and make sense for me instead of feeling so scattered, which is nice.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like these different things that seem unrelated, but they bring together. If you look at a genius, it's someone who is focused on this one thing, but like doctors are a perfect example. Doctors are terrible in business and terrible in finance, but because they're so focused on this one thing. But if you're going to find your passion and develop as you intended to develop, you need to take information from here and here and here and here and here as much as you can. And as long as you're going with the flow of that, doing what you're interested in, and not feeling guilty for spinning your wheels, then you will come across things that will lead you to one another. Things you didn't know before.
Here's something that happened just yesterday. So one of the things that I've been judging myself for was the amount of time that I was spending in this chat group that I'm in, just talking to different people and sort of seeing myself through them, kind of. And so that was one of those things that, like, my persona was calling a waste of time because I could be spending that time doing other things. And just yesterday, I haven't really mentioned, or I've like vaguely referred to like podcasts and stuff that I'm doing. And yesterday, a bunch of people started asking me about it. And I like pushed past some fear and posted a link to it. And all of a sudden, like 5 people were listening to it at a time and giving me all this feedback and like a lot of encouragement. And so it was really, I don't know. It was really incredible to have this thing that I was like, I should be doing something else. And then it's completely related. And now all these other people want to be on it. So it all just ties together. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I just don't understand how you guys can do this one-on-one and still go to work, still have energy to take care of your kids or anything, because I can spend all my energy working through my fears. And then once I'm done with that, I just spend all my energy reading or finding new stuff to sort of drown myself in. I just can't get enough of it, but it's either finding new stuff or working through my fears. And I'm just so grateful that I don't have a job. Mm. This came at a perfect time because I could never do it if I had to go to work. I wouldn't have the energy.
Yeah. It happened for me, right? As I like only had my kids half the time. So luckily I ended up with like an abundance of time to dive into it in the beginning too. Yeah. So that was, how perfect.
So good for, and good for Jennifer if she gets to do this now that she doesn't have to go to work. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's fun to take what you think you learn or what I think I learn out into the real world and kind of test it.
Emma is interesting too, because she works on 2 weeks in a row and has off 2 weeks. So she had time during the off 2 weeks. And who else? Oh, Kate is full-time working all the time. But Raiden, also in Norway, is a stay-at-home mom. And so she has time. It's interesting how that worked out. Yeah, but Steve was super busy.
I don't know. I was a stay-at-home mom and I didn't feel like I had time.
Well, her Raiden's kids are older, so I think I have a little more time. Yeah.
There you go.
And Lett, who's in Rotterdam, busy, and she's using a lot of it at work, which is really cool. She's getting a lot of this. She's only in question 16 or 17, and she's getting this feedback that is sort of blowing her mind. She's differently now.
When is Astrid's one-on-one going to be on the website? I'm ready for some.
Well, I was waiting for the website to do, and then we're going to add it.
Gotcha. I got an email from him. He said he's going to have something to look at, something for me to look at today. So.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, I'm available. I'm not playing poker today, so I'm available too if you want to send it to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, then all Astrid's stuff will go up there.
Perfect.
Which will be cool. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
All right. The vast majority of your life is wonderful. There is nothing to improve in your outside world. It is perfect as it is. However, your inner world is ripe with inner conflict and stress. You have created an outer reality that appears to be safe and stress-free, yet the maintenance of this reality is stressful to you. It is your inner feelings that you want to improve, and as you improve those feelings, your outer reality will match it more wonderfully than you could ever imagine. You escaped a condition that you did not like. However, that condition was simply a reflection of how you feel. You will find another condition, and unless you make big changes to how you feel, the new conditions will look just like or even more intense than the old conditions. Mm. Change your inside conditions rather than changing your outside conditions, because they are merely a reflection of how you feel.
So they're thinking of moving to the same town in Charlotte, same suburb of Charlotte, that my oldest and best friend Bruce and Mary Ellen moved to. Just out of the blue. And these couples don't know each other.
Mm.
And Charlotte is this huge financial hub of the U.S. And if she keeps going with the same feelings on the inside that she has to be good and prove herself and be professional and be bringing in lots of money, she's going to get sucked into a job there, much like the job that she had here. Mm. So what Joshua was saying is that you got to, you know, now more than ever, focus on what you want and give up all these ideas of success and being good and having to make a lot of money and that sort of thing. And focus on what you really want. It's hard to do.
Easier said than done.
Definitely.
Conveniences. I mean, we can do, you know, Bruce and Mary Ellen moved from a pretty nice house that they sold for $450,000 to a 1,200 square foot three bedroom condo. Apartment, not even condo, apartment, an apartment complex where they paid $1,200 a month. So, but they were never into any status or any of that ever. I mean, they never cared about the cars or anything. They just care about their kid and having the kid go to a nice school and being close to Hirsch family, who's now up there. So they don't care. So they're having fun. And so this is sort of a similar thing, is that they're relieving themselves of the pressure of the financial stress that they were under and doing all the things that they were doing. And now they're sort of focusing on things that are more important to them. But they could have done that here too. Except that I think they wanted to be closer to the family. All right. But they're moving to the exact same town. I mean, this town's called Cornelius, North Carolina. Who ever heard of that before? There's only like, 10,000 people in that whole place. And they're going to the same town.
Very weird. Yeah. There's no one else to consider. This is your reality. There is no knowledge outside of you. You are self-contained. You will be inspired to action that will lead you to what is wanted as long as you can maintain a high emotional state of being. That is your only work. Your work is to feel good no matter what is going on around you. Your work is to find a way to allow yourself to feel good at all times. The only reason you ever feel bad is fear. The fear is irrational and false, and therefore it is an illusion. You must see through the illusion of fear and talk yourself back into feeling good. You must look at everything from a much higher perspective. You must not lose this opportunity to feel good at this point in time so that you can be led to the very next step that is right in front of you.
So here you are. You have these 5 weeks off. You are free. And you can now move to the very next step that's right in front of you if you can get rid of your worry about where you're going to move. Are you going to sell the house? Could your kids stay here? Do you have to go somewhere else? What happens if the school that they're going to be in, if they stay here? All that stuff. But that's why they're saying, like, right now, this moment is fine. What are the thoughts coming to you in this moment? And then go in that direction. Okay. Oh, well, I just said it. Go ahead.
If you can feel good, you will receive inspiration. If you can push past the irrational fear that will always surface, you can move toward creating the reality you desire. You were inspired to ask this question, and the universe responded by giving you this answer. What will you be inspired to do next? You are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We are Joshua.
So that's a good thing. She was inspired to ask this question, and so she asked the question. Most Joshua answers about 1,000 words, and this was 2,400 words.
Wow.
It's a big answer. So it is. How do you get this inspiration to ask a question? It comes from somewhere. And then as soon as it comes, you go, well, Gary doesn't have time, or this is a silly question, or this question's too involved, or how am I going to put it into words? You just do it, right? You do it. And then what you get back is something that you did not expect, right? But it's something for you. And then now, what are you going to do now? Are you going to hold on to this idea that you had before you asked the question, or are you going to go in this new direction that the answer tells, you know, is indicating? You're sort of like stuck between these two. That's a real paradox.
Well, I think once they give you an answer like that, you can never really go back. It's always, once you've given this information, it's in your mind. You may not always be focusing on it, but you can never go back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Once you've learned it, you can't go back. Your vibration is raised from just the process of writing it and receiving it and reading it. And then you got to read it over and over. Because,
I'm making my own book.
And every time they write something like that, like, what will be your next step? Or what are you inspired to do? I always feel fear because I feel like I have to do it. I have to do something. And it's this push that I'm resisting it every single time, but I know I have to do it. But it's this pressure that's like, and they keep asking me.
I have that too, Astrid. And what I've been focusing on is step one, because I, you know, immediately they say, you know, what are you going to do? And I'm down the road 2 years, you know, trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And so now I've just been doing step one. For instance, Mark was on our call and he's a life coach. And that's something that I've always kind of thought, oh, that would kind of be fun. And, you know, I had a thought about it. So I took step one and I just said, hey, Mark, can I talk to you about that sometime? And said, sure. Yeah. Anytime. But now I haven't had any more inspiration. So maybe it was connection to Mark. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's awesome. But,
and I'm not going to worry about step 50. And I used the same example with my daughter-in-law last night. We're going to list her condo, and it could sell in one day. It could sell in 2 months. We don't know. And if it sells quickly, they're kind of in a bind because they're not really ready to move. And she got all upset and, you know, just kind of went off the handle. And so I brought myself back and I said, okay, step one, we put the house on the market, period.
Right.
You know, and then we will go to step two, whatever that might be. And it was just such a refreshing way for me to look at it. And I think it helped settle her fears too, because we both immediately went down the road 50 steps.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. When we really don't know, we have no idea.
Yeah. You have no idea. And everything always tends to work out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always does.
Yeah. I only see the steps when I look back. Like right now, I mean, like this podcast, that I don't know, maybe that was like step three, but I only see it when I look back. When I'm in the middle of it, I can't see it. I feel like I'm stuck. Nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And then all this stuff is happening like in the background, but I only see it looking back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to look at it too, because you can see that, and I think Joshua said this before too, but you go from one step to one step to one step to one step that led you here. But at step one, if you had written down your goals, would one of the goals be to be on the round table? Mm-hmm. Like none of us would have had that goal ever to be on a podcast. And now we're on number 69 and one day we'll be on number 1,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, it was funny. Yeah.
6 months ago, I didn't even know what a podcast was.
I didn't either. I barely knew what it was. Maybe 2 years ago, you know, I heard this thing. Yeah. Crazy. And now we're on one of the most popular podcasts in the history of
action. People listening.
Yep, and they're going to look back on these times and they're going to like make fun of how bad we did this.
Just like with the Joshua Live. I mean, the last one, you know, we were talking about how that was great stuff. You know, the better it gets, the better it gets. And it really is true. I mean, it's just, I don't expect things to progress like that in the real world. But that's exactly how it's supposed to progress. Every episode is so much better than the last just because we're all going up a little notch each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reaching for a little bit more. Operations are getting a little higher. Yeah.
And even though new people join in, they kind of come in to that level and just go up from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Fun. Well, this has been fun. This is our longest podcast ever.
Ever. We've been on forever. It's a 4 hour. Yeah, 4 hour, minute, 4 hour podcast.
Yeah. But if anyone wants to, I wonder if this is something people want to do or not, but if you want to join in and be on the Joshua Live call with us, you can ask Joshua a question or just be there and feel the energy of that, because it's sort of a cool thing to be a part of it. It might seem scary to ask a question in front of everybody, but those questions really help other people, not just yourself. And it's actually a vibration raising thing, I think, too.
So if somebody wants to do that, is the best way for them to go to the website, www.theteachingofjoshua.com, and contact you? Use the contact form?
Or just, you can email me at gbodley@mac.com, gbodleymac.com.
I could post that on Facebook if you want. Well, I don't know if it's a good idea to put emails on Facebook or on the internet in general. You get all kinds of, I don't know. That's a belief, maybe. Yeah. I'll work on that. Yeah. Okay. But so we'll reach out and contact you and ask.
Or go to the website at teachingsofjoshua.com. And I've been getting to a few good questions too from the general public.
Nice.
I've been spending more time and getting better at it and getting my endurance up. At first, it was like doing two questions is exhausting.
Yeah.
And now I can do 4 questions in the day in a row, you know, and sometimes I'm inspired to do 5.
A lot of people on Facebook did express interest in like engaging more. I asked, put out feelers about that call with the one-on-one people and then whoever can join from the public in there. Yeah. So that idea is still in the works, but there were at least like 5 or 6 people who thought that sounded like fun.
You know, I think having a conversation about one topic where everyone can, you know, explore more deeply in that topic. Because when we have conversations with people, it somehow is never this in depth, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's never really focused in one way. It's never sharing the same experiences. It's not, we don't really, even at dinner, we're talking about different things here and there and everyone's trying to get it, but it's not focused on one topic. And this is fun. Even if you didn't make it into a podcast,
it's fun. I would love, definitely. I look forward to it.
Yeah. And you look down and an hour and a half of the has gone by like it's been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Ah, no.
No, right. Astrid?
It's longer.
Astrid, how long does it feel like to you?
Yeah. 1.5 hours. Stupid things like this. So if you're like a normal person and you're worried about saying stupid things on the podcast, please, I can always do it better. I can always say something that's more stupid.
There's so no
don't
such
let
thing
that
as
stop
stupid.
You from yeah, but I mean, don't let that stop you from joining the live call, because I can always be worse. So that's not a fear to
you can
to
always
think
be
about.
Best, Astrid.
Yeah, but don't let
you're the best
be
at you're the best at it.
Yeah, I'm the best at saying stupid things. So don't even worry about that.
It's funny how you can be so good at something, but think you're not good at something.
Yeah. You have no idea what the thoughts you bring up, Astrid. Yeah.
I'm very good at being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Sometimes you're saying what we're all feeling or thinking. So
yeah, I seem to lack a filter.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah,
that's really overrated. Good.
That was probably intended before your birth.
Yes.
This time I will have no filter. So I feel that way sometimes too.
Yeah. Cool.
Good stuff.
But it would be fun to have someone new or someone outside of the group join us. That would be fun.
If there's anybody out there in the 6 million that knows of the best call software to facilitate something like that, like a big group call, if anybody has any experience, feel free to drop us a message on Facebook, because that's been my thing that I've been letting hold me up on it. So
I would like to know that too. I mean, Skype is really good, but it's a little jittery here and there. And mm-hmm.
Yeah. And especially if there was a bunch, like even 20 people, even probably 10 people, when there's 7 of us on here, sometimes it gets a little wonky. So something that's designed for that, if anybody has any knowledge.
And one day there's going to be 1,000 people on those
walls. Wow. Yeah. Then we won't be able to get a word in edgewise, Astrid.
That's right. Well, you better enjoy this time now.
Yeah, right. Get all our questions answered now.
I'm excited about when we're going to the cruise and we'll fill the whole boat with just Joshua students.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That place in
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Okay. It's only about 4 weeks away, right?
Cruise? Yeah.
Yeah.
What day do we go?
The 26th, Sunday.
But today, the 25th, that's exactly 1 month until I'm going on my business class flight.
Nice. Woo-hoo.
And are you going to stay in Miami or Fort Lauderdale?
No, Fort
Lauderdale. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I am too. Astrid and I are both in Fort Lauderdale, right by the port.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to stay with us?
I flew to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. And Kyla, what about you?
I will be staying with you. I'm going to fly in Saturday.
You're staying with me, and Kate and her sister will be with me.
Yay.
Yep.
Good.
And we will get together. What time? When are you coming in? On what day is everyone coming in?
I'm coming in on the 25th, late at night. I think like 8. I get in at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I couldn't have figured how to get there earlier.
All right. Well, we'll figure this all out after we're done with this podcast.
I'd love to tell you what's on my grocery list.
Yeah, right.
So everyone have a wonderful week and join us for Joshua Live when you can. Mm-hmm. And until then, just go with your inspiration.
Mm. Yep. Love it.
Goodbye.
All right. Bye. Goodbye.
Lots of love from all of us.
Love you guys. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.